If I could have done that 10 years ago, my life would even be different than it is now.
You're listening to the Millennial Musician Podcast with your host, recording artist and music career strategist, Shay Leonia. On with the show.
Hi, everyone. You are back listening to the Millennial Musician Podcast. I'm your host, Shay Leonia. And today, I am so excited because I'm joined by a very longtime friend, one of my most talented friends in existence, one of the sweetest people that you could ever encounter, also one of the funniest, most humble, and just overall badass people in my life, Honey La Rochelle. Thank you so, so much for doing this tonight and on a Monday.
Oh, are you kidding? Anytime for you, Shay Leonia. Anytime. Literally anytime.
So I've missed your face. I really have.
Ditto. Big time.
And there's so much to talk about with you. You are such a multi-hyphenate. So yeah. You sent me this glorious bio, but I feel like it would just be better to just pass the mic to you and let you give us the rundown of all of the things that you do, because you do so much.
Oh, it's so much better in third person, darling. She... Honey La Rochelle is a veteran soul singer. No, I started touring the world in 2006 with a band called the Brand New Heavies. Mm-hmm. And from there, it led me to touring with Macy Gray, Joss Stone, Dr. John, Lorde, Laura Izzybor, and many others. And I've been just so lucky to basically be a touring musician now since 2006. You know, barring a couple moments of hiatus via COVID, etc. And during COVID, I made my pivot, which most indie artists and singers and recording artists got to do, right? We got to take a long, hard look at ourselves. And I was faced with a bit of an identity crisis. Mm. And after suffering a little period of depression and like, I buckled up and was like, all right, honey, what are we really doing? And that's when I found Reiki, and Reiki really transformed the whole experience for me into a really huge blessing. I was just so thankful for that time. And I got to really consider the gifts I've been blessed with and the opportunities before me. And what I discovered is that my journey into self-love and self-worth led me toward creating Sacred Artistry, which is a program that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
But really, it was like, hey, if I was able to heal these wounds, and in healing these wounds, triple my income and increase my value in the world and in my own heart, right? Because however we value ourselves in our heart is really how the world sees us, which I really figured that out. And so then I made it my mission to help other artists figure that out for themselves as well. So I started Sacred Artistry in 2020. And through that, I hosted a bunch of different summits, conferences, online events. And it has sort of transmutated now to my superpower, which is badass background singer. Mm. And I've always been a badass background singer. And there were many years that I thought that that was a bad thing. And actually, it's one of the best things. It's like one of the coolest positions to have in the industry and in the world. And so now my mission is to remind people that not only is it a wonderful thing, but there's ways to make it work for you. And if you or any singers are ever interested in becoming badass background singers or learning what it might take, not only will it enhance your personal artistry because it pays your bills, right? Mm-hmm. So then you're not creating art out of scarcity and going, oh my God, I have to sell this many tickets. You're like, I don't care how many tickets I sell. I'm going to make this show the way that I want it. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, and I could go on and on for all the millions of blessings, but badass background singer is just sort of being born now. It started out as a summit last year, and now we're making it into a course. So it's still taking shape, but yeah, we're inviting singers who are interested. And my thing is like, yes, I have connections. Yes, I've been in this industry a long time. If and when people start coming to me with gigs, then I would have my own pool of singers that I'm like, oh, they're whipped into shape. They're trained up, and they're people that I would feel super confident promoting to those opportunities.
Yeah.
But you know, anybody who wants to sing should be allowed to try and should be given the opportunity to get really good at it.
Right.
So that's where I am today, these days.
So beautifully put. So my journey with background singing has been interesting because I've always wanted to, like, my big dream is to sing background for Janet. But
yes,
something I learned from Gordon Chambers years ago was he is of the mindset, and many artists are, that your background singers should be better vocalists than you are. And
totally,
that's where I would always shut myself down. Like, the moment that Gordon Chambers told me that, I was like, oh, well, I can't be a background singer, which was hilarious to me because in retrospect, I have sung as a background singer so many times. And I think...
And you sing circles around all those people.
Oh my
probably.
God. Oh,
you sing circles around them. So...
Yeah. So I, my thing has been, okay, well, I'm not a professionally trained vocalist. I don't consider myself to be, even though I am a professional vocalist, because I don't know music theory. However, my blend game, like, I blend like a Vitamix, but I just don't necessarily always know what notes I'm supposed to go to. Sometimes that brain fog kicks in and I'm like, oh, I need to ask my neighbor, what note should I be on? Like, you and I, we did this whole video together where I was like, honey, I don't know what note to sing.
And so, but then as soon as you were assigned the note, you slayed, right? And so that gets to be a skill that you could commit to developing because it's not impossible to train your ear. And, you know, if you were interested in pursuing and, like, you want to show up at Janet's audition with, like, I got every trick in the bag. There's literally no reason why you wouldn't hire me, then I would say, let's focus on that skill.
Yeah.
Or whatever, if you feel like there's a weakness, like, that's a skill that I feel like is important. And there are many ways to navigate on the way to being really, really clear about what note to sing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really great to have a buddy, but sometimes you're on your own. So you want to, you know, increase your instinct. It's just like fencing or boxing. You know, if you see a right hook coming and you keep leaning toward it instead of away from it, guess what? You got to slow down, start again, and practice leaning away, leaning away, leaning away, leaning away. And then next time you see a right hook, you won't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. You just up and out the way.
Yeah.
And it's the same. It's the same with discovering your notes.
I think that's one of the things that I really
exercises to practice.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that I really appreciate about this year in particular. For me, I've been blessed to do way more wedding gigs than I've ever done before, and there are certain songs that I'm frequently on lead for. But every now and then, when I get to be the backgrounds on it, I'm like, I know all of these parts, and I get so excited because it's, you know, I love being able to just dip my toes back in and be like, oh, I do know the background vocals, and I can work on this skill and freshen it up.
That's a great way to hone that skill. Get paid. I'm always like, you should be earning while you learn.
Yeah.
Earn while you learn, baby.
Yeah.
So that's great. Yeah.
So tell me, what are some of the misconceptions about being a background vocalist?
Well, I think that when I first started as a background vocalist, I would get so offended when someone would introduce me that way. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be seen as an artist, and I wanted to be introduced as an incredible artist who also has this side hustle, this other skill. I didn't respect what it meant. I didn't really understand what it meant. And I think it's the same as, like, growing up as a biracial girl and not ever seeing biracial girls in magazines until later. Now they're all over the place, and there's girls that look like me on billboards. But growing up, I thought, well, you know, there must be something bad or wrong. And it might've been like a subconscious thought. Mm-hmm. Same with background singing. It's like, oh, they're just background singers. Mm. Oh, they're just in the back.
Yeah.
And actually it's like, would you say, oh, he's just a keyboard player or she's just a bassist?
True.
But every single piece of the band is an integral element that is imperative for the music to be what it is.
Right.
And ain't nobody on that stage being paid for no reason. You're paid because you have a value, you have a lane, you have a place, and you matter. Mm. And it would not be the same without you. You are so important. And so if I'd have known back then that I could lean in to this position, this title, without it damaging how people saw me. Somebody said to me once, oh, well, it's really hard to see you as an artist because I just see you as a background singer. And so that scared me, right? It scared me away from it. But that's just one person's opinion. And I feel like this movement, this Badass Background Singer Society, is going to bring awareness to the beauty of this position.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it will cause enough intrigue and also educate these MFs out here who ain't got a clue.
Right.
Right. Like there's so many people in these streets who just like, when the voice comes on and you see this one person in the center of the stage, suddenly there's a choir around them and ain't nobody got a clue who those choir people are. Those people are high paid working musicians mm-hmm. who have a skill that without them, you would sound like doo-doo. Boo. You know
what I mean? Truly. Wow.
So it's just like highlighting and just like bringing to the forefront, like we out here.
Yeah.
And we're making good waves and we actually make a huge difference.
Right.
And so it's about knowing your worth some more.
Exactly. And like just because you maybe if you start out being a background vocalist and unintentionally, it doesn't mean that the door is shut on becoming an artist. Think of like, I mean, there are countless examples, but Luther Vandross, Sheryl Crow, Judith Hill, even like Stout, Jean Noble, like all of these people do background vocals, but they are all artists in their own right. And they are unstoppable. And you're
Amanda Brown. Amanda Brown. Yeah.
So many.
Totally.
So many.
So many. And there are background singers who aren't pursuing their own artistry, but ultimately it's like your background singing can fuel and furnish your artistry. Mm-hmm. It's very important to be employed, and it's really difficult to be an artist who's employed in society's 9-to-5, 40-hour work week and still have your side hustle. There are people who do it. It's not impossible. But it is way more ideal for you to be surrounded by music, honing your skills, keeping your chops up, getting paid to travel, getting used to the lifestyle. And then it's an easy flip.
Yeah.
And what happened for me is I was on tour with Joss Stone and I was her background singer, but she didn't have an opening act for some of the show dates. Where do they look? Oh, well, there's three singers right here in my same trailer. Like, do any of you guys have a project or a release? Do you want to? So then I got to open for her on several shows of her tour.
Wow.
As Honey La Rochelle, right? Like I was first in line for the opportunity, and that would not have happened if I had not been being a good background singer that she knew could hop in. You know, I had one rehearsal and then I was on tour.
Wow.
And that's how it went. And same with Macy Gray. When I was with her, you know, we did this European tour. And at the time I was like signed to her label. And so as a way for her to help promote me, she was like, why don't you just come on the tour with us? It means that we only have to pay for one more person on the tour. Mm. And she let me use her guitar player. And I did an acoustic 3 or 4 song set before every show. And I gained mad fans. I still have people write to me now. That was 2011. 10 years later, there are people who still follow me, still keep up, still are interested in when I'm coming back to their cities, still checking for me.
That is incredible.
So, and in that 10 years, I have learned so much about what I could have done better to nurture those relationships, how I could have nurtured my indie artist releases, and maintained my background singing status with pleasure in my heart. Cause there was a lot of bittersweet torment in my heart around it, which kept me stagnant. I love this. I'm really enjoying this gig. I love my boss. I love everyone in the band. I'm like staying in these 5-star hotels. I'm flying on these cool planes. I'm going to these crazy places. I'm playing for the king and queen of where? Like crazy stuff. But the whole time I'm going, I wish I was at the front. I wish things were different. And so it would be harder to appreciate right? You know, like, here's this cake. And you're like, oh, too bad it's not red velvet.
Right. Ooh.
And it's like, but it's a really good chocolate cake. Like, it's really a beautiful cake.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so a lot of the things that I'm focused on inside of Badass Background Singer Society is like, how can you make this work for you? If you have a dream of being an indie artist and doing it well, learn from my mistakes, learn from my wins, and let me help you make the most of it. Mm. First, it starts with changing your mind, right? Like, you get to embrace and lean in.
Yeah.
If I could have done that 10 years ago, my life would even be different than it is now. My life is amazing now, and it could be better.
But now you get to learn from these mistakes and teach other people how to avoid them.
Exactly. I have many, many, many experiences under my belt that will help me serve the next generation of singers. I mean, my career is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. I have everything within me. I have all of the hustle. I know the game. I know the people. Like, I'm not worried about me. Can I serve you?
Right.
That's, you know, like at this age, at this day, it's like the more I give, the more I get anyway. Mm-hmm. So who out here need a little serving? You know what I'm saying? Let me mama you.
It's such a recurring theme throughout, I mean, not just artistry, but in life as a whole, because I mean, that's like it's almost like a commitment to dissatisfaction is what you feel like you need in order to remind yourself that you want more. And like, if you're enjoying this background vocalist position too much, then what if my brain thinks I don't want more? And what if I'm tricking the universe into not giving me more? And it's so funny because like, that's something I work on with my clients too, is like, if they put out their very first single or their very first album and they don't suddenly magically overnight get 100,000 followers on Spotify, they're thinking that they're a massive failure. But it's, you forget, you can actually enjoy this part of it. This is part of the journey that you get to enjoy, you know? So yeah, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it affects us all.
I love that. It really does. And I love that part of like, each step is a step. Mm-hmm. Like, you have made a step. So if we're trying to eat the whole elephant, you know, not all of us have that type of digestion. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to, you know,
some of us will get the shits from eating too much elephant
that
in one
part.
Sitting.
A little stuffed up, are we? I mean, but it doesn't make you a failure if there is still 98% of the elephant to go.
Yeah, yeah.
if you can look at it, you can see the final vision, you keep your eyes on the vision. I mean, the four pillars of sacred artistry are still very much at play. Mm-hmm. You still get to love yourself first so much and consistently remind yourself that you're all right. Remember who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were my very first coach.
You
were my first. Aww. You took my coaching virginity, honey.
I popped your coaching cherry.
That expression is so good. I hate that expression.
Just kidding. Jokes.
No, it's all
rewind,
good.
Delete.
It's all good. No, you really did. I'm trying to think of some other ones, but never mind. not good down that rabbit hole.
But look at you now.
I know.
But look at you now.
Look at me now. I had no idea that musicians could have coaches, anything beyond a voice coach, before I attended your first summit. And after that summit, I was so pumped, and I had been like sitting my ass on the couch day in and day out, not doing anything. I had this music that I was like, meh, it's all right. And by working with you, it kind of opened up the floodgates. And I went a little haywire because...
Yes, you do. You get excited.
Yeah, I got really excited. I was like, now I have to make up for 15 years of sitting on the couch, and like just started investing in all of these courses and programs. But, and I learned a shit ton. But one of the things that I have taken away from working with you that has really changed the fuck out of my life is language and our use of language. Mm. One of my favorite ones being get to versus have to. So would you mind just explaining to our listeners about that philosophy?
Yeah. The step one in sacred artistry is we play the notice and celebrate game. So we would aspire to eliminate any word like I can't, I should, I have to. Like if you think about like, oh my God, I got to get to the gym. I should really work out today. I should be working out. What am I doing? All of that has like this really ugly, heavy shit on yourself energy that we haven't really been paying attention. We haven't been taught in this society to respect the frequencies of language, but our words are spells. We are very powerful. And so when we can, inside of the notice and celebrate game, there's several steps which you're familiar with, and maybe we won't bore the listeners with all the steps, but the bottom line is once you notice, oh, I just should on myself again, right? Or I just used this low vibration language. I just bullied myself. I just did a finger point and told me that I am bad or wrong for being whatever I'm being. As soon as you start noticing that, then you can actually transform your whole experience, because when you shift your language, it's a miraculous and dramatic change on your experience. If you say, I get to work out today, like, ooh, I have this extra hour. Ooh, I have this cute little new outfit. Ooh, I have this trainer. Ooh, I have this playlist. And you bring that energy into the preparation for getting your ass to the gym. Guess who's going to be at the gym killing it and burning 600 calories in that hour versus 299 in that same hour if you walked in with that, ugh, I got to do this. Let me just get this done energy. That's just one example, but it goes across the board. So I love that that one is your favorite.
It really is.
I have to, or I should, until I get to. And I've had a lot of people go, oh, now my mom is saying I get to. Oh, now my partner says I get to instead of I have to or I should, which is like, great. If you leave with nothing else, make a commitment every morning. It's not something that's going to be transformed in you forever. It's something that you get to commit to every single day and choose every single day. I commit to being high vibrational. I commit to high frequency language, and I commit to loving myself.
Yeah.
And with those commitments means I get to notice the words that go through my head and really monitor the ones that come out of my mouth. If they have the nerve to pass through my lips, like all we have is our word, right? All we have is our word. So you get to be really, really intentional and use excellence with the choice of language that you use.
Yes.
So I hope that breaks it down.
It totally does. And I remember one day somebody challenged me on it. I think you were in the room. It was on Clubhouse. And they said, well, why would I say I get to go do this workout when this one particular move I keep doing is super strenuous on me? And I said, well, think about people who are amputees or people who are bedridden, somebody that physically cannot do this move. And you will find it easy.
Yeah, what a blessing.
Yeah, you'll find it easy to be like, wow, I get to do this. And I would take that into the gym every single time. And now I do the same thing, whether it's something mundane like grocery shopping or laundry. Every time I go to do my laundry and I get to do my laundry. My washer and dryer is in my bathroom in this apartment. Okay. I used to have to take an Uber from Englewood to Hackensack.
Oh my gosh.
Which is not a hop skip. And I used to have to Uber there, Uber back. And I would only be able to get there maybe once a month because this was during my waitress days.
Right.
So it's easy for me after having worked with you to find the truth behind saying I get to do my laundry, because now I literally roll out of bed and I go into my bathroom and I can just throw my sheets in the dryer and the wash. And it's
what
amazing.
A blessing.
It's amazing.
What a blessing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it helps us to appreciate. So that's the thing, is like, are you appreciative of your position? You know, the cliche that says first world problems. Mm-hmm. It's like, we definitely are a society that have first world problems, and we're rolling our eyes and huffing and puffing and sighing over our privilege.
Yeah.
So if we can shift our perspective, that will help. But also, you know, you could have said to that person in the clubhouse, you know, why would I say I get to when I'm doing all these moves that are strenuous to my body? Well, Why would you choose to do moves that are strenuous to your body if you don't see any benefit or result?
True.
It's like you get to take responsibility. You get to be responsible for every part of your life, not just the parts that you can see a clear connection to you, but you can be responsible for everything in your life. Now we might be going down the woo train a little bit, which, you know, I'm good for it. I'm here for the woo.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to come to your defense about the woo. So I'm not woo woo. I'm just one woo.
Okay. Just woo.
I'm just one woo because
I'm a woo woo.
I love when woo can meet science and really back the shit up. And so I already experienced the benefits of switching my language around to get to instead of have to and should. But then I learned about confirmation bias and how the confirmation bias in our brain, how it works with our mind's eye, which is literally, I know to anybody that's not like well-versed in this, you might still think that I'm talking about woo-woo stuff, but I'm not. Mind's eye being the filter. So if you said every day you want to find, I'll quote Mel Robbins here, if you want to find a heart-shaped rock every single day that you leave the house, I promise you, you will find a heart-shaped rock. If you decide that you want to get a car and you're like, man, I really want a Jeep, suddenly you're going to start seeing Jeeps everywhere. But the world didn't change. It's just that your mind's vision changed because of confirmation bias and how it works. So that's the science behind your woo that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's why it works.
That's a portion of the science of why it works.
Right.
That's true. It is not the only reason why it works, but it's very important. Yes. If you have anybody with any doubts about the woo that need to have some confirmation, here is some scientific proof. And there are tons of books with scientific proof all over the place. Mm-hmm. The woo is hella real.
Yeah.
We are hella powerful.
Can you make that into a t-shirt, please? The woo is hella real.
The woo is hella real. Yeah, that's actually great. I might send that to my assistant immediately. The woo is hella real.
Yep.
Yeah, we're super powerful. And so this brings me back to artists who are suffering from that starving artist narrative, who are like, oh, well, you know, I'm an artist, so of course I can only do this waitressing job, or I can only drive this Uber, and then the rest of the time I'm committed to my artistry, and therefore I am choosing, right? They don't ever feel this way. I'm choosing to be broke.
Yeah.
Right? But they are accepting and they are resigned to that they quote unquote have to be broke because they're artists, which is so far from the truth. And especially what's so crazy is we live in a world where there are umpteen million trillion artists who are millionaires and billionaires and 100,000-aires who are experiencing financial abundance. And then there are umpteen dumpteen million trillion artists who are experiencing life abundance, right? They're like, okay, we ain't got a shit ton of money, but we got all the food, all the love. We're surrounded by joy. We have all of the abundance of all the things. Like, you know, there is so much abundance available to us at all times. And learning how to tap into that can feel a little woo if you don't believe it yet. Mm-hmm. But aligning your belief with your action, with your experience is possible. And it's a practice. Again, it's every day you wake up, you commit. It's just like that. I'm going to find a heart-shaped rock, or I'm going to align with my abundance that's mine.
Yeah.
Right? It's our birthright to experience abundance. All of us were born into this world to experience, not just dream about, but fully experience what it feels like to have absolute freedom. And that can, you know, it can be an abundance of time. It can be an abundance of money. It can be an abundance of opportunity. It can be an abundance of love, and you name it. But it's all there for us, and we are the only ones in our way. So if any of you are not experiencing abundance, let's look inward.
Yeah.
What can we shift within ourselves? And sometimes you don't know that you're sitting in a red car. Somebody outside the car, though, is like, that's a red ass car.
Yep.
Boo.
That's another one of my favorite sayings from you. I love that one.
Right. So sometimes it does help. This is why I have three coaches and why I advocate for people to hire a coach. It doesn't have to be me or any of my peers, but you should have somebody who you're paying handsomely in enough that it kind of hurts. you should feel it.
Yeah. Put your skin in the game.
That part. And not just like $45 a skin.
Yeah.
Like put some actual like skin in the game because it makes it non-negotiable.
Yeah.
And then your coach can feel like I am that committed. I'm so committed. And then you can feel like, cool, we're in this. And I know you got my back.
Yeah.
So that's where I stand with that.
So while we're on the topic of money, let's totally 180 and go back down that road. Back to the background vocalist gigs.
Yeah.
One of the things that I am huge on, especially as a woman in the industry, I have seen how important it is to have transparency around financials. So if you wouldn't mind, you don't have to show us your tax
returns.
How
do you mean?
Well, about talking about what we're earning with each other so that we can like,
oh, okay.
So that we can make sure everybody's being paid appropriately so that, you know, all that climbing up can happen as a community. So
this is interesting because I actually always avoid that conversation. I'm more of the school of I get to negotiate what I believe I'm worth, and whatever I believe I'm worth is where I go to the boss, and that's what I will negotiate for. Or usually you would have your management negotiate that for you. But when we begin comparing, it can lead to a lot of messes.
Right.
So I've always just assumed, you know, I'm probably the lowest paid here. And that's because I chose to agree to work at this price.
There's definitely, I feel like
that's a school of thought for me.
Yeah, no. And I think that there is validity from both sides. And I don't think that it's necessarily black or white either way. But I think that as long as time and a place, read the rooms, people. I think that there are definitely areas that in the music industry in particular, it doesn't feel as glass door about what we are getting paid and what we should get paid. I would just love to ask you, even if you can provide a range, what are some price ranges that background vocalists should look for, whether it's an indie artist, one-off gig, or a touring major label situation?
Well, there's a really wide range. So, you know, and it depends on how much you love this indie artist, but a lot of indie artists are using their Uber money to pay their band. Mm. Right. And so I have done a lot of $100 gigs, $250 gigs, like favors.
Yeah.
Right. It's just favors. If I really love you, maybe you just pay for my gas and buy me some food. You know, that's also happened. It's not something I can afford to do much any longer. Mm-hmm. But then there are gigs where you get $600 a night. There are gigs where you get $1,500 a night. And that's kind of the range, like per, if you're doing it per gig. A lot of times if you're doing major tours, they will be paying you per week. And depending on how long you've been in the game, you may choose to accept $2,500 or $3,000 a week. Mm. A lot of background singers won't accept that any longer due to inflation, but it depends on the scale of artists you're touring with. Like Beyonce, if she came with that offer, people would scoff.
Yeah.
Right? Lizzo 5 years ago versus Lizzo today is going to have a different offer. Mm. You know, you can't have number one hit records and then be offering some bullshit.
Right.
And when you're offering whatever you're offering, you're going to get that level, right? You're going to either have somebody who's good, but brand new. Maybe they have some greenery that you get to like grow out of them. I remember my first few years touring, all the things that I didn't know that I didn't know. All the many, many hilarious, sad, scary, embarrassing lessons because I was green. And I had no idea how green I was.
Oh,
right. And so
I got to hear one of these stories now. It's like the carrot in front of the donkey. Do you have one that isn't too painful to share?
Oh God. None of them are just like popping up But for instance, you know, I was touring with a band that loved to drink, and on our green room rider was a ton of temptation. You know, in my first 6 months on the road, I think I gained 40 pounds. I kept losing my voice and then trying to like make up for it by like downing a hot tea before the show. And like, I wasn't taking care of myself. I was on burnout right away. Right away, because it was like, oh, I'm in Japan. I'm never going to be here. I've never been here before. Let's go check out the whole city after the gig until 4, 5, 6, 7 in the morning. And then let's catch the plane in the morning. It'll be fine.
Oh, gosh.
You know, when you're young and you're green and you're excited and you're looking at all the other people in the band who are taking it easy and they're like, no, I'm going to take this time to take a nap. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go see the tower of this thing. And, you know, then you like spend all of your per diem to try and get to the Eiffel Tower. And then you get there and you're like, I got 20 minutes. I can, you know, like you're just trying to pack it in instead of being intentional about your plans, which now I would say, look at your tour book long in advance, well in advance, know exactly which cities you're going to, make your advance plans with your people and decide which cities based on the schedule. If you're doing 3 cities, 3 days, maybe only one of those cities gets an excursion.
Yeah.
If you're doing, you know, 3 cities in 7 days, then hell yeah, let's do a search and find the best excursions based on where we're staying. Right? It's opportunity costs, it's calculations, it's how much time do you have to research, it's how much time do you have to plan. And also, what else are you doing in your life? Most of my time on the road is me spent working in my hotel rooms. And I'm so thankful to have a room that is quiet, that is clean, that there are no distractions. I don't have any piles of paper as I do here now. There's a pile of paper that I know I get to sort through at some point.
Yeah.
Right? So that's constantly itching at my underbelly. Hello, we are here for you, which that's not true in a hotel room.
Right.
So it's a really huge opportunity for me to work on my songwriting work. I'm writing a book now. Like, you know, all the things that we're doing, you get to calculate that time.
Yeah. So, okay. So you mentioned a per diem. So, okay. So there's the weekly cost. Then you get a per diem typically for a tour.
Yes. And then you get dinner. And so either the venue is providing catering or there's a buyout. That's a very common practice for venues to be like, we're not going to cater. We're just going to give you 40 bucks a head, 60 bucks a head for dinner. So sometimes I'll leave with even more cash. And then if we want to get even deeper into the money game, like I've been so lucky to learn about all the credit cards and the miles and all the different ways that you can play the system with this inside of the entertainment industry's machine, right? Like I fly every place. I have all of the miles, but I also have every credit card for every airline. So if I'm flying Delta, I'm gaining 3 times the points because I'm using the Delta card, et cetera. But how to manage that without you can't play that game if you're the type who's like, oh, now I have 6 maxed out cards and they're all at 20% interest.
Right.
So I did do a summit called the Money Marathon earlier in this year, and it was so stupendous. We learned from what is this? They're trying to update and install. No, thank you. We learned from 7 different money experts. Like, when you're an indie artist, you get to play with your money differently than society will teach us. Society will teach you to take your regular check, which should be the same amount every 2 weeks, put this much in the bank, put this much over here, put that much over there. And that's just not the game we're in. That's not the game we're playing.
Right.
So, and there aren't a lot of resources for us. Like, I got to learn this stuff firsthand and now I'm teaching it. Now I'm like, okay, here's exactly how I manage my money, which is such a huge difference.
Yeah.
And if I'd have known this even 10 years ago, my retirement would look different. But we're not, we don't get insurance, health insurance. We don't get, you know, a 401k. We don't have a retirement plan. And we don't have very many people teaching us, specifically us out here in these streets, how to create a retirement plan. And even, you know, death has been something that people are afraid to talk about. But like our debt goes to our first of kin. So you got to have a life insurance policy to prepare for that. And most of us don't know that. Mm. But guess what? You grow up in a certain type of family. Most definitely you knew that. And your family bought you a policy when you turned 18.
Yeah.
So that's just different. You know, there's all these things that we don't know, we don't know.
Yeah, because we're this starving artist mentality. It just permeates through us so much that once we do come upon, like, let's say if somebody becomes a touring background vocalist, you know, it's very easy to just be like, oh, well, I have money now. There's money in the bank. Therefore, yeah. I have money. Therefore, I am okay. But you don't think about
it. And therefore, I can spend it.
Right.
All.
And you think like, oh, I can invest in this album now. And I can invest in this show and paying musicians and going shopping and doing whatever. And it's just like, until when? Are you promised your next gig? Is that?
No. And that's the thing is like, what happened for me in my first years is I was working 25 weeks a year. So it made it impossible for me to keep any other job. Mm-hmm. But half the year I was unemployed. So then the 25 weeks worth of work had to stretch for 52 weeks.
Yeah.
And 46 weeks in, I'm going, ooh, this is real tight now.
Right.
Because I didn't know how to manage my money. I had no idea how to use foresight. I had no forecasting experience. And I was just excited.
Yeah.
So these are some of the many, many things that I'm just excited to share now. And I'm like looking at these children's and I'm like, y'all are going to have such a better time. I'm really excited for you.
I love that you're doing this. So let me ask you, because I have one time, a long time ago, a background vocalist told me about the politics of auditions. And I didn't know what that meant until I found myself at several auditions in a row where I actually was auditioning in front of the background vocalist that they had already hired. And I was literally there on a technicality. And I was like, what is this? So I want to ask you, do auditions matter anymore, or are all gigs pretty much booked from word of mouth?
I auditioned for my very first world tour with the Brand New Heavies.
Who I saw, by the way, with Benji years ago.
Oh my gosh. You went to, you, was I in the band at the time?
You weren't at this particular, this was at BB King's when BB King's was still around.
In New York? Mm-hmm. What year?
I don't remember. It wasn't that long ago. I was probably 40 pounds lighter then.
Oh, you're still a babe.
Still a babe.
Still a total babe.
Just a few more curves.
Yes, we love those.
But yeah, you weren't there because we were definitely, we had been friends for a long time and you definitely weren't at that gig, I don't think.
Okay, cool. Where were we? Sorry,
Do auditions matter anymore?
Right, so, you know, yes and no. If you are lucky enough to get into an audition, you want to know that you have your money shot in your pocket, accessible. You're done. It's a no-brainer. It's a turnkey and you're prepared. Mm-hmm. So, and you get to have thick skin and the right mindset that says, I don't care if you're the one that they hired. They haven't seen me yet. Mm. Right? If I discover that I'm stood in front of the person that they hired and that the competition's technically over, there's still opportunity, right? But probably as soon as you learn something like that, it would be easy for us to fall into a, oh, holy fuck, there's no chance. I've lost it already. I can't even. What's the point? Oh, whatever. Ugh, I guess I'll just, you know, and you talk yourself down the drain. Mm. And then you get, and then you open your mouth and you deliver something from the bottom of the drain.
Yeah.
Versus the sprinkler fountain that says, y'all dumb mother chose the wrong person. Ha ha. Did you want to reconsider? Well, I guess I'll reconsider my costs. Mm. Right? So it's all in your mind. You are powerful. And this is why the four pillars of sacred artistry are still like what I absolutely live by. And you get to have that part under control. And it's a daily practice. It's not something and we're done.
Yeah.
No healing is that way.
Right.
And what we're doing inside of those pillars is healing. We're healing old wounds that happened when we were 5 or 6 or 7, when somebody heard us singing and they said, shut up.
Yeah.
And then we took that with us and went, oh, I guess I don't sound that good when I sing loud. From now on, I'm going to sing like a mouse.
Right. Right.
Or I won't sing. Mm. And we didn't even clock that. Right. Until we started therapy, which every adult should be in therapy. Let's be honest.
Amen. Shout out to my therapist. She is awesome.
Amen. Yeah. I'm looking, guys. My therapist and I had a breakup. So,
Backline. Oh, I'm putting you on, honey. Backline.
Put me on.
Backline.care. He's actually, we have an episode coming up with the clinical director of Backline.care. So, they are specifically therapists that are vetted for musicians.
Ooh, I cannot wait. I'm about to go to this link as soon as we click go.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. Yeah. So the reason why I ask always about anyone's opinion or experience about the auditions versus referrals is because, like, I can't blame anyone for depending solely on referrals, because if you think about it, there are so many other factors aside from talent that come into play. And when you have enough chutzpah to be like, you as honey being like, listen, Shay, I'm going to refer her for this because I know that she's going to be kind to everyone. I know she will be on time. In fact, I know she will be early. I know that she's going to come with a good attitude, be willing to learn. That somebody is more willing to rely on necessarily some just cold audition where you don't necessarily know the person's habits. So that's why I love to find out if auditions are still even a thing.
I'll tell you what, referrals are more a thing for sure. And like, I actually had a gig. I have a gig that I'm about to sub out. And I went through my mental roster. And it was interesting because I was like, oh, I'm in the hiring chair right now. Okay. So who, and so like, then I thought about all the questions that I am asking. Oh, who's really good? Like, who do I know is not going to accidentally hit the wrong note? Mm-hmm. Who do I know who is going to make me look really good?
Yeah.
Right. That they're going to be like, oh, like, who do I know that might steal my job?
Mm.
Because really that's what you want. You want them to say, oh, good. Anytime honey subs herself out, we can count on it and we can relax and feel at peace and we don't have to stress.
Yeah.
Because it's really about like, whoever is the one paying is already under an incredible amount of stress. And so how can we make it easy for them?
Yeah.
That's it. That's really the question we're asking. So yeah, I mean, I'm most certainly not auditioning to find that person, right? Mm-hmm. You're auditioned already. Everybody got auditioned when we met. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you're always auditioning.
Right.
Are you a good hang? Are you reliable? Are you responsible? Are you talented? Do you have the look that is necessary for this thing? Mm. There's all the different factors. Unfortunately, this still is a very superficial industry. And sometimes the look will be the thing, right? Like you have a shaved head. You're going to get a lot more gigs than girls with long hair.
Which is hilarious because it's the exact opposite for my wedding gigs.
Right. Weddings, they want the soft, they want the less edgy, they want you to blend, and you're a motherfucking rock star, and they're just like, oh, I guess we have to have this motherfucking rock star. But when you show up and absolutely rock, they're fine.
Yeah,
they're like, oh, good. Actually, it's great to have a rock star. Just because we didn't know her name in advance does not mean that we didn't just have Cyndi Lauper up in here.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when we go in and we serve, we're serving an experience. It has nothing to do with us. And a lot of us artists go onto a stage and go, oh my God, I hope I look okay. Oh God, do I look fat? Oh God, do I sound good? And it's like, if we can intentionally change our mind on the way to the stage as we're hyping up, like, whose life am I about to change? How many people can I impact with these messages? How many goosebumps can I create? How many people are going to leave here going, oh, that was amazing. Like, can I take you on a whole roller coaster? Not just like one dip.
Yeah.
When you focus outward, everyone's experience transforms and then they forget They forget to look at your fat rolls and they forget to think about your notes. And they're simply in bliss and in pleasure, which is the power, the superpower that we hold as artists. It's a very high responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm just thinking about like, I love you, honey.
I love you too.
I'm just thinking about like how important it is that you're offering this for artists right now, because yes, while all of this inner confidence and badassery, you need to know it for yourself. It's also so important to know as a background vocalist about how to blend and how to bring out the best in your singing neighbor and the lead and the band. And it's just something that, you know, sometimes I'll be on a gig and someone will be singing in a completely different vernacular than I am, using completely different vowel shapes than I use. And I'll try to compensate and blend with them, but it'll be just off enough where it sounds like nails on a chalkboard. And it's just, There are so many nuances that I'm so happy that you're offering this now, because people need to know this if they want to be a background vocalist.
Yeah. And so I'd be interested in like what kinds of questions you would have for something like this, because like that particular problem that you just named is like, I've sung with people who don't know they're super loud. They just always, they can come in and speak at a nice volume and then they start singing and it's like, OMG.
Yeah. I think that
and
when
we're sharing one monitor mix, do you have respect for your neighbor? Because that's part of your talent. Musicianship is part of your talent.
Right.
Musicianship includes having respect for your neighbor. Can you hear yourself? Yes. Can you hear everyone else equally? Do you fall in and land, or are you just bulldozing everybody?
This is a gripe that I have with horn players too.
Yeah. Well, horns don't have the same blessing of dynamic, but they do have dynamic ability, and a really good horn player knows how to play softly and loudly and knows when to do which, just like a good singer.
Yes. Asterisk.
And a guitar.
A good horn player.
I have guitarist.
I'm so shady. My brain is having a whole conversation right now going, girl, I know exactly what you're talking about. And the other voice in my head is going, yep. They always do that. Oh God.
You know who you are. You know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you better check yourself.
Right.
Ask yourself those questions. While you're working with other people, are you really easy and fun to work with? In other words, do you bulldoze? Are you sensitive? Do you have good listening skills? I don't care what position you are in the band. You better be a good listener.
Yeah.
That's like 98% of the skill.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? You should know where are you falling in the whole mix, because we're mixing live here and each one of us is only responsible for our sound, the sound we're emitting.
And care enough too.
So we're making a live mix.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing about caring enough too is like, there's something as subtle as, you know, I'll ask if I'm supporting a vocalist, and we have a chance to rehearse, I'll say, do you want vibrato on this note or not? Because my vibrato is like, I have the Stephanie Mills vibrato where it's very quick. But I also have,
so I want to pause you there with love.
Yes.
Because you have more than one vibrato. And so when you say things like, I have this vibrato, it sounds like you're saying I don't have other options, which isn't true.
School me, honey. School me.
Right. So we've been through this where you can say things like, oh, I only have X. And it's like, well, up to now, I've only experienced X.
Oh.
That's the truth, right? So you may have more experience singing with a Stephanie Mills vibrato. The Stephanie Mills vibrato may come very easily to you, but that does not mean that if you were blending with me, that you couldn't identically match my vibrato, whatever it is, right? You have that ability. And so it's very important that you are aware of that and that you're leading with that in your conversations, because I would hire you before ever hearing you if I like you at a party and I can see that you know what you're talking about and that you speak about yourself in a way that says, I could serve you in wow. all the ways.
Oh my gosh.
Right? It's all about the networking. It's all about who are you being at the party? Because the party is your audition.
Right.
You know what I mean? The audition, the official auditions, the cattle calls, those don't happen that frequently anymore. Mm-hmm. But they do happen. But, you know, like Beyonce, that tour that she did with 250 people, like most of those people were word of mouth. Yes, she held auditions, but most of those people were like, oh, I know this badass drummer chick.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this thick black baton girl. Oh, I'm looking for thick black baton. Okay, so I know where to find one.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, and then you go and you find 20 of them and then you get to choose. But the audition part, it's happening all the time.
Yeah.
We're always being auditioned.
Ah! okay. All right. I want to respect your time, but real quick, and we can totally cut this out if you want to, but I would love to touch on your original music and your music with the Fungineers.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So between Hijack and Smash That Like, those two songs stay on rotation constantly. Like, and I'm just how is it that you are able to be such like badass at the foundation and chameleon everywhere else? Like you are still you, but you are bringing so many different alter egos and I love every single one of them.
Thank you. That actually hindered me a lot in my career, but it helps so much now because the money comes from sync.
Mm.
And in sync, you're allowed to be a chameleon.
Mm.
When you're being an artist, like, you know, if Ariana Grande was like, I'm going to do a reggaeton record, people would be like, what? Actually, that's not true. She could probably pull it off, to be honest. That was the worst example.
Didn't
Cardi B is like, I'm going to do... Right. Snoop Lion.
Yeah. And Music Soul Child tried to be a rapper, I think, briefly. Or was that Tyrese?
Oh, I missed that chapter. But either way, people expect you to stay in your lane once your lane is solidified. So you have this little option to explore at the beginning. But then, you know, if you want to stick to your freedom of self-expression, I mean, we live in a world now where it's singles based. So I have done it. I've done a reggae album. I've done a hip hop record. I've done jazz and soul records. And all of that works for my catalog, which means that I'm available for way more sync opportunities,
mm-hmm.
which is where I'm focused because I'm touring already as a background singer.
Yeah.
So I'm not in the school of thought of like, I want to tour my own music any longer. That used to be a dream of mine. Now I'm like, I want to shoot my TV show for 6 weeks. And then I want to make so much money from those 6 weeks of hard work that I can survive the rest of the year and offer Reiki healing retreats and ceremonies on my property and grow food and like, and spend time in nature.
Yeah.
That's like, that's the vision for me. Mm-hmm. Right. So it really does depend on what your goals are. And so thank you for recognizing my chameleonisms. And
I love them. Like,
thank you.
And the fun,
I'm thankful for the Fungineers because they gave me permission to be silly, weird, fully self-expressed. It gave me a mask to wear so that I could feel free to show all the ugly, dirty, raunchy within me without fear. And actually what I found is the more I shared of the stuff that I was afraid to show, right? The less I cared about what people thought.
Yeah.
And the more I shared, the more people could relate to me and the more fans we gained.
Right.
You know, we did this show on Friday here in Los Angeles and people were singing all the words to my raps. And I was tearing up a little. because I was like, these kids are listening to this stuff. Yeah. It's making an impact. You know what I mean? It is making a difference. And it's the stuff that I would have been, that I spent many years being ashamed of.
Right. Oh.
So we spend all this time, like inside of Sacred Artistry, you heard me say all the time, your mess is your message. Mm-hmm. How sloppy can you be? Can you make mistakes in public? You have permission to offend. You have permission to fuck up. Do it in public. Don't wait until it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Get it out there. Give it a shot. Be willing to be really truly seen, which is very vulnerable and frightening. And I struggle with it still too, especially with my Honey La Rochelle project, which is like, you were asking about that versus the Fungineers. Since COVID, the Fungineers have really taken a front seat for my creative outlet. My own artistry exists there. Mm-hmm. But I have been hungry lately. Like, okay, I have this single with Omar that I've been meaning to release for ages. And I was like, well, if I'm going to release it, then I should release it with other songs. Okay, well, let's find producers. And it's like, you know, just take
effect.
On that whole, right. And actually, really, like, the Fungineers is enough for me right now. And there will be another Honey La Rochelle album, most definitely.
Okay,
in the future.
Good. Because
I hear
you saying, and I don't want to invalidate that you're saying that the Fungineers gave you this permission, but in a way, as an outsider looking in at you and just an admirer of your work, Hijack in particular, the reason why I'm referencing that song is because it came with a very risque music video. And what right. I think about in retrospect is the fact that you were touching on themes of gender and sexual fluidity that did not come into, I want to say, mainstream discussions until, at least on my radar, until like TikTok and, you know, post, well, we're still in the pandemic, but like, you know, a little on the tail end of the pandemic, Lovato. And it's almost like you put out this video so far ahead of its time for an audience that would fully embrace it now and be like, oh my God, who is this badass chick that has like these men making out in the corner? And like, you know, and it's just, but it was just so, everybody just go YouTube that video because it's so good. But yeah, but it's just funny to me to hear you say now that, that the Fungineers gave you this permission, because in a way you kind of like, you did it before that. And from my vantage point.
Okay. Well, that's interesting that that's how it looks. And I love knowing that that's how it looked to you, somebody so close to me, but I've been in the Fungineers since 2008.
Oh.
And the Fungineers shot that video for me.
Oh, did they? That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And that was at our warehouse, and that those were the Fungineers in the video. And, yeah, they helped me bring, especially Kyrian. Kyrian is the brain behind the Fungineers. He's a genius and a visionary. Mm-hmm. And I'm so lucky to be partnered with him in that way, because that was his. He wrote the treatment. He created the lighting. He painted the sets. Well, he got the sets painted. Yeah. He hired the DP. Like, that was his genius. This is what my music brought out of him. But the Fungineers has really been the outlet for me to be willing. Now, I grew up in a house, like, you know, I'm Canadian. I was raised by lesbians. Mm. So I used to like take score at the gay games when I was a little girl. So like being gender fluid and being your sexual orientation, and like in Canada, asking what pronoun you prefer has been very, very appropriate since 2002.
Really?
Like back in the day, people were like, hi, nice to meet you. What's your pronoun?
I didn't know that.
So I know, because it, you know, the
okay,
news
Canada.
Travels slowly. Yes. Especially, I mean, I'm from the West Coast of Canada and there's huge community. So I've always been very comfortable in the LGBTQ world. I identify as bisexual. Like, I'm inside of that. I put myself inside of that container. Mm. And I don't know that it defines me in any way or makes any real difference, but I most definitely am solid and standing, you know, with and for us. Mm. Yeah, I recently broke up with a person who was like, don't get me started with the LGBT. I was like, okay.
What?
And we're done here.
why is dating such a joke today?
It's so funny. We can start.
I know. I literally had
this is a musician's podcast. Okay. Not a dating podcast.
But listen, listen, I tell everybody, this podcast is about life, love, and music from a millennial's perspective. So all of it's out there, but
being an artist, I want to leave with this it is important to address the love life of a touring musician.
Ooh.
Especially a female, because I am usually the only girl in the band. Mm. And often, because I'm touring mostly with jazz artists and soul artists, so it's a little bit older demographic. Most of my experience has been I'm in a band full of married men. So these men who have the same lifestyle and position, they find wives who will have their babies and stay home and take care of the babies, who will press up their outfits and be their partners, and they probably handle the bills, mm-hmm. right? So these men can go on tour and come home, and there's a home for them. Mm-hmm. But as a female, it has not been that way, because there haven't been that many men who want that position, and I can't provide that for somebody.
Yeah.
That's just not my lot in life.
Right.
And so that's a sacrifice that I have made to embrace and take on this position. I would not trade my position or my life for anybody, but it is important that it gets discussed.
Yeah.
That it is possible that you will find some difficulty if you have a traditional dream. Mm.
Before I let you escape, I think that with this point, it's important to bring up one more point of safety precautions that women can take on the road.
Well, I may be the wrong person to ask about that, because I have always been somebody who I expect the best, and therefore I experience the best. Mm. And I risk a lot. So I have always, for many years, I was touring the world with no health insurance whatsoever, which is super dumb and dangerous. Mm. And I would not recommend it. And I got lucky. Mm. And that's been true for me in a lot of areas. But I have found that being in a group, when I land, there's a driver with a sign with my name or my boss's name waiting at the airport. Usually I'm flying with one or two band members, or we're meeting at baggage claim. And then I'm with my people. I'm in my safety bubble. And then we get into the vehicle, and then we go to the hotel. And then from the hotel, there's a new vehicle, or the same driver comes back for us and takes us to the venue. Mm. So really, like, the safety precautions are more like, are you carrying mace if you're going on your own excursion? Mm. Do you know, once you leave, exit your safety bubble? Yeah. It's the same as taking a walk at night in Skid Row, or, deep in Brooklyn or wherever.
Yeah.
Right. You get to look out for yourself. Do you have your own weapons? Do you have some people wear a little knife around their neck, or a little mace jar, cute something. And that's your prerogative.
I have to look it up again on TikTok. There's this company that she makes, oh my God, what tasers, like little keychain tasers. I gotta get me one.
I would be petrified of it, like, accidentally tasing me from my purse. I'd be like, oops. The lipstick fell into the trigger, and suddenly I was tased. You know what I mean? I don't have the trust. So I'm cool. I'm cool on that. But I do have a little knife that I wear around my neck. Mm. And I used to carry mace, but I don't leave my safety bubble that often. Yeah. I'm with my people, or I'm in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and congratulations on this awesome part. You're so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm doing things.
You are doing it.
If anyone is listening and is already with or involved with or loves someone who is on the road on a frequent basis, I just want to plug once more, Backline.care also offers free group therapy, not just for musicians, but they also have an entirely separate free group therapy specifically for the families of touring artists. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait to plug you up with them because they are just amazing. But honey,
I can't wait.
Thank you so much for this. I'm going to put all of the links that anybody would ever want to know about you.
Thank you.
I'm just so grateful to have you in my life. And I'm so grateful that you're helping musicians in the way that you do. And every life that you meet is just a little sunshinier.
Aw. Well, I wanted to just like one of the links that will be in the show notes, you guys, is going to be a free masterclass, a Singer Straw masterclass. So if you wanted to like up your chops as a singer, you can just sign up and I'm giving it away for free for Black Friday.
Amazing. I have my Singer Straw.
Yes. I got mine right here.
Yep. Came with a brush.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, honey, thank you again. And everyone, we come out with a new episode every Sunday. So we will see you next Sunday and get ready for winter, everybody.
Here we go. Winter is coming.
Yep.
For the night long and full of terrors.
Oh, yeah. Later, alligators.